living in urgent times, if you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, friends. It is so wonderful to be with you today, which is Monday, January 13th. Can you believe it? It's 2025. I am live with you today. I'm so happy to be with you. I think the last time I was live with you was the week before Christmas. So it's wonderful to be with you. But let us begin with prayer, my friends. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we have so many prayer requests today. We pray for all the people who are victims of the wildfire, Lord Jesus, in California. We pray, Lord Jesus, for a beautiful rain to come upon these fires, that they no longer exist, that you put an end to the Santa Ana winds that are supposed to get worse today through Wednesday. And we beg of you, Lord Jesus, to spare the lives of the people who are living there. And we pray for all the help that this country can give will be provided to these people, to these victims. We just thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus, because you have a mighty plan. And we beg of you, Lord Jesus, to intercede before God the Father for all of them. We pray also, as we've been praying for months, Lord Jesus, we pray for the victims of the hurricane that was in the south. Apparently, many, many people are still homeless and they are not getting the help they need, but we pray that they will have homes for the winter, that they'll have food and clothing for their babies. And Lord Jesus, we pray that help is on the way for the victims in the hurricane region of the South. And also, Lord Jesus, we pray for all the victims who are suffering around the world. We pray for peace in our global economy, peace in our homes, and peace, Lord Jesus, peace beyond that passes all understanding. And we thank you and praise you for that. We entrust this radio broadcast to your Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. In your holy name, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, my friends, I saw a news feed last night that really touched my heart, and it was about a family. They lost everything in the fire. They returned to the site of their home, and they sang a beautiful hymn of Amazing Grace and other beautiful hymns. And the only thing that survived was a statue of Our Lady and one of Saint Joseph. But yet they came back with a heart full of gratitude because the only thing that mattered to them was that they were alive as a family. And they sang praise, praise to you, Lord Jesus. And the father of the family went on one of the networks and said that his home was enthroned to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Actually, the network aired that, which I was surprised. And that they lived a Christian life. They lived a life dedicated to the Lord's service and hospitality. So even though they lost everything, their hearts were filled with gratitude that they were alive. And I believe that's the message the Lord wants all of us to know today, that no matter what happens, if we're alive, he wants us to do something for him in a time such as this. So I hope that that family makes the major network news to proclaim the glory of God in the midst of this devastation, because what a message it is for all of us. So in praying about today's broadcast, I said, Lord, what is it that you want? I haven't really been on since the week before Christmas. They've been rebroadcast. And actually, I've been working on this most of the day. And I think you'll laugh when you hear the title. It's How to Live in God's Will in Our Own Personalities. Now, think about that. How in the world do you live in God's will if you're hyperactive, if you're passive, if you're manic depressive, if you're bipolar, if you're just a joyful little bunny rabbit? How in the world do you live in God's will in your personality. And do you honestly think God is out to get you? I want you all to yell out yes or no right now. If you're in a car, in the kitchen, at work, at home, taking care of the kids, changing diapers, do you think God's out to get you because you made a mistake or you're in sin? Answer that question. And here's the next one. Holiness is who we are. It's not what we do. Oh my goodness, in the writings of most of the saints, holiness is who we are. It's not what we do. So I want you to buckle up because this program's going to ride you through a lot of different topics, and I hope and pray that it touches at least one person in a very, very special way. Because believe it or not, Christianity isn't the focus on self. Oh, is this a revelation? Christianity is not a focus on self. Then what is it? Then what is it? Do you all remember the question in the old Baltimore Catechism? Why did God make me? Do you remember that question? We had to memorize that when we were in school, and I actually loved it. And the answer, I bet everyone who's listening who knew the Baltimore Catechism can answer this out loud with me and do so. The answer is to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this world so we can be happy forever in heaven. Do you remember that? I remember the nuns teaching us and quizzing us on this, and we had to remember this. God loves us more than we could ever begin to love ourselves. Now, do you honestly believe this today? January 13th, 2025. And do you honestly live it? Now, when you surrender your will daily with all your quirks and your personalities to the will of our Father, then you'll discover the joy of totally giving yourself to the one who's totally given himself to you. Now, that's even with your quirks, your medical, physical, emotional problems, and you'll enter into a relationship of trust and love with the God who created you. Now, you don't have to be afraid. I think a lot of people are afraid seeing these wildfires and these natural catastrophes and what's going on. You don't have to be afraid. You just need to trust. Now, for he, meaning he, the Lord, promises that he'll never leave you or forsake you. Do you believe that? And he promises that he will lead you and guide you. He promises that he will give you his peace. Peace? Peace in this world? Peace in this economy? Yes. Now, are you ready? Are you ready, my friends, for this program? Are you ready for this peace? So get excited. God has great plans for you. He does. God's plan for you is to get to heaven. It's not to win the lottery. It's not to get the bigger boat or bigger house or better job. God's will is for you is to get to heaven. Yeah, it's the ultimate will for you and me to go to heaven, and he will be with us forever. God is not out to get you. Oh, my goodness. I've said that in my lifetime. If I made a mistake or I sinned and something happened, I would say, oh, God's out to get me. God's out to get me. How many of us still say that? He wants to love us forever, and he wants us to live with him and enjoy eternal life. That's the end result. That's our big 401k in heaven. This is what God desires, friends. This is the only reason he created you and me. And once we realize this is the ultimate will of God, everything flows from this reality. Now, I want you to write this down if you can, not if you're driving, 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. God has saved us and has called us to a holy life, not because of any merit of ours, but according to his own design. The grace held out to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. To be saved means to go to heaven ultimately. This is his general plan for all of us. And if you're listening today, it's meant for you. Now, right now, you need to make a decision to desire God's will in your life. No, it's not really hard. Just say right now with me, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you, and I desire your will in my life. You see, God does everything in his power to save us and to get us to heaven. We have blinders. Social media has blinded us. Many political decisions have blinded us. Many times sin has blinded us. He gave up his only son for each of us, and that means you who are listening. He also gave you and me the gift to live out our free will. He's not going to slam a hammer on you and say, hey, you know, I'm going to remove your free will so you'll do what I want. He gave us all free will, so we can choose to be with him or not. Now, the choice is up to us. It's an eternal one. It's not a fleeting one that with a six-month CD. This is eternal. Now, in Ephesians 1, verse 4 to 6, God chose us in his Son before the world began to be holy and blameless in his sight and full of love. So before we start to talk about the particular will of God for our lives, we need to take a look at the general will of God. We've stressed the general will of God in many radio programs in late fall, didn't we? Talked about being lukewarm, how we can't be lukewarm. Now, in Timothy 1, verses 2 to 4, God tells us he wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of his truth. God wants everyone in heaven with him, and that includes you. Because God loves us, we do not have to be afraid. So if you're looking at the TV, you're looking at your checking or savings account, and that fear is mounting up on us, God is not out to get you. He's not out to get you. We do not have to be afraid. We talk about the fear of the Lord as being the beginning of wisdom. But the fear of God isn't terror. It's awe, A-W-E. It's the fruit, and the fear of God isn't terror. It's awe. We should all be in awe, A-L-L and A-W-E. Remember, John says, when there is fear, love has not yet been perfected. Did you remember that in the scriptures? 1 John 4, verse 18. Hey, when we're in love, it casts away all fears, doesn't it? So when we're talking about God, we're talking about wanting to be with him. We're talking about our trusting him and trusting that he loves us. Now, before I go much further, I want to stop. Let's think about one thing, and I want to make one thing really clear. We're not talking about salvation as it comes only from what we do. It comes by cooperating with what Jesus did for us on the cross. We're saved by grace, period. But we've got to cooperate with that grace. Now, holiness is who we are and not what we do. Wow, isn't that something? I know how many times in my lifetime I said, wow, that person's so holy. They do this, this, and this. It's not about what we do. It's about who we are in light of Christ. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Why did God make you? Here's the answer. God made me to know him, to love him, to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him forever in heaven. God created us to be happy forever in heaven, not 6 months, not 10 years, not 100 years, forever in heaven. My friends, this is the meaning of life. This is the meaning why we're here on earth. This is why we are here on earth. Did you know the little flower, whom I love dearly, had a great desire for sanctity? Even when she was very little, She wanted to be a saint. That should be our goal, too. We all should desire to be saints. This cannot be the end in itself, though. The main reason we want to become saints is to please God the Father and to be with Him forever, not just to avoid hell and be happy forever. Wow. I bet if I took this microphone out on the streets right now and asked in the city, in the neighborhood, on farms, in companies, what's your greatest fear? What do you want to do with your life? Probably over 90% of the people would say, well, I don't want to go to hell. I want to avoid hell and I just want to be happy. Well, how would you achieve that? Well, you don't achieve it. It's you're living in the will of God the Father. You have surrendered your life to God. Now, sanctity or holiness is a byproduct of love. I remember a beautiful part of a talk Monsignor John Essef, an exorcist from Scranton who gave in Paray-le-Monial, France. I did the editing for a television documentary on Paray-le-Monial, France. He talked about we need to be Jesus. We need to love like Jesus. We need to pray like Jesus. We need to be Jesus to others. And I remember thinking, how could I possibly be Jesus to others? But the more you reflect on it, it's quite powerful. Now, Christianity isn't the focus on self. Now, according to Father Larry Richards, whom I heard give a retreat, and I have some notes here, it's the forgetfulness of self. Christianity is the forgetfulness of self. It's a surrender of love to God the Father. When you and I fully surrender, that's when we become holier. Not when we do more things. It's when we totally surrender to God the Father. And when you and I focus on our own little acts of holiness or acts of sins, we become Pharisees. Oh my goodness, Pharisees. Remember the Pharisees did everything right? If you've I mentioned this before. If you watch the movie Chosen, you'll really see in living color what Pharisees did. Remember the Pharisees did everything right. Boy, they didn't even break the Ten Commandments. They didn't even break the 700 commandments of Leviticus. But they could still be in hell. Why? They didn't break any commandments, you would say. It's because it was all about them. How they were going to earn holiness. How they were going to earn heaven. This is a lie, people. This is not grace. This is not love. This is not God's will. So think about this question right now. Why do I want to go to heaven? Is it because I'm afraid of hell? Oh, I think years ago, maybe even up to 5 years ago, I would have said, yeah, I definitely don't want to go to hell. And I want to go to heaven, but I want to go to heaven because I'm afraid of hell. If this is the only reason, it's an act of selfishness. It's saying, I don't want to go to hell, so I guess I'll go to heaven. If that's the case, then our whole life of Christianity is focusing on that reality, isn't it? See, you can be holy and still be real. Now, this is a very big thing for me to be real. Been working on it 71 years, 71 and a half years, and I still don't have it right. Sometimes people think that they have to act all holy and use holy talk to be a saint. Most of the time, I think it's the exact opposite. Why? I remember a talk by Mother Angelica on this. And if you read the writings of St. Padre Pio, he wrote extensively on this. Look at St. Padre Pio. In spite of having the stigmata, the ability to bilocate, which means to be in two places at one time, and the ability to read souls, he had a lot of good moods and a lot of bad moods. And when he was told that Rome had barred him from hearing confessions and saying mass in public for a while, do you know he went to his room and cried? He didn't say, okay, this is great. I'm just going to do this with great joy. He went to his room and cried Yes. It is He who makes us holy, not us who make ourselves holy. This is an incredible revelation, and this is why I said buckle up, because I'm talking to myself as well as to you. Now, the key to holiness is daily surrender in our prayer every day. You know, Kathleen McCarthy said years and years and years ago that as soon as she puts her feet on the ground in the morning, she gives her fiat to the Lord and says, whatever it is you want of me today, she surrenders her life. And it's a fiat, F-I-A-T-A, F-I-A-T. And this is very important for all of us to do. Every morning, even before we place our feet on the ground, we should say, Jesus, I surrender this day to you. I surrender my thoughts, prayers, and actions, my family. I pray whatever it is that you will for me, I accept. The key to holiness, my friends, is daily surrender in our prayers. We have to have a longing for God's will in spite of our sinfulness. Now, no matter where you are, if you have an addiction today, alcoholism, food, drugs, you're having an adulterous affair, God wants you. He loves you, and His mercy is reaching out across these airways. He's calling on you today, no matter where you are and who you are, whether you're famous or you're poor, whether no one even knows you exist. God loves you, and His love and mercy is being extended to you right now. When St. Paul was writing many of his letters, he called the whole church the saints of God. Did you know this? We are the saints of God. We're not saints who have already made it, but we're saints in process. That's why I said, if you're alone right now, you're in the middle of an addiction or a very sinful moment, we're in process. I love the saying that the church isn't a museum of saints. It's a hospital for sinners. I remember one of the popes, I think it was, I'm not quite sure which one, said that it's a triage. It's a hospital triage. And we can add sinners on their own way to becoming saints. This is the point I'm giving to you. We're all on different stages of this journey, but we've all got to be on this journey. And this is what God is calling you and me to do in 2025. He wants us to be with Him forever. Please listen to me. He wants us to accept His love. He loves you no matter what condition your soul is in today. He wants you to be with Him forever. And the way we do this is to grow into the holiness that God is calling us. It's our choice. It's your choice. Even though God wants us all to be in heaven, oh, this is a hard one to hear, He still created hell. Well, a lot of people don't even believe that hell exists. Well, why is this? Because if there's no choice, there's no love. Since God is a God of love, there must be a choice. There must be a choice. See, it's the way we live our lives every day that says whether you and I love Christ or whether we're Christian atheist. What in the world is a Christian atheist? If we love God, we're going to spend time with Him and we're going to obey Him. Now, the only way you and I can prove that we love God is by being obedient. And as Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments. And you can say all you want that you love God, but if you don't obey Him, your very actions show you do not love Him. And therefore, my friends, here's a term I'm throwing at you today. In the beginning of 2025, we're Christian atheists. Holiness is a process. It has to be the way we're normally going, walking toward God and what God wants of us. Every once in a while, we're going to fall. Maybe you fall every day. And that's okay. It's our humanity. We're not infallible. We're not perfect. But God loves us no matter what. But we need to stay focused on God. And we want to be with him and love him more. There's no reason, listeners, why everybody cannot give God even 5 minutes a day. No reason at all. If you can't give God 5 minutes a day, you're that Christian atheist I talked about. You're a pagan who claims to be a Christian. Now think about this. I want you to really, really, truly answer yourself on this. If you ever want to be holy, to know God, to live his will, then the number one thing that you're going to have to do is pray. Now, if you have a hard time praying, I recommend you pick up some holy cards or devotions or the Bible. Read and pray one psalm a day. One psalm. Period. Nothing else matters. You cannot begin to find out God's will or even continue to listen to these radio broadcasts until you decide that you're going to spend time with God every day. Prayer is the secret of all the saints. Their good moods, their bad moods, prayer is the secret of all the saints. Ordinary people, saints are ordinary people. Yes, ordinary people like you in South Philly, you in New Jersey, Maryland, Delaware, Pennsylvania, California, wherever you're listening from. Ordinary people who with all of your heart, you strive to seek and live the will of God in your life. And when you look at some of the statues of the saints, don't they look perfect? They're perfect. But saints are not statues. I want you to think of Padre Pio. They're not statues. They had good days and bad days, just like Padre Pio. They liked people and didn't like people. I think this is a surprise for some of you who are listening, because if you haven't read up on some of the lives of the saints, you're wondering, what? They had good days and bad days? Maybe a few bad days. No, they had a lot of bad days. They had ups and downs like all of us, but they kept going. Oh, my goodness. They kept going. What do you mean they kept going? They did not look at themselves, but looked at God and sought his will. Define holiness as when God's will and our will become one. And that's why it's important to say, I surrender my life and my will to you, to God the Father. We have to be like the saints and look at Jesus and his grace and not at us and our weaknesses. Remember, Christianity is not about focusing on ourselves. God calls you, Joey, Mary, Luke, Susie, Jane. God calls you and me in the same way, to live his will in our own personalities. That's what I started off the program with. Remember the question? How are we going to live in God's will in our own personalities with our own quirky ways? How is that possible? We need to be people of great hope. We need to be people who, no matter how crazy life gets, and boy, is it crazy now, no matter how hard or bad it gets, know that God is bigger than everything. He's bigger than those wildfires. He's bigger than your addiction. He's bigger than your spouse who cheated on you. He's bigger than that cancer that's in your body. He's bigger than all of this. He wants you with him forever, forever, not for a few minutes. And he wants you to surrender your life at this moment. The world is not our home. Oh, that's a revelation, isn't it? We're just passing through. Our true home is heaven. And everything we do should be to prepare us for our new home. So, my friends, after the break, we'll return, and I have so much more to share with you, so buckle up.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back, my friends. This is Anne McGlone of Thy Will Be Done on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm so happy to be live with you today. And this program can be heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Well, I have something for you. I hope you have a pencil and paper, because Kathleen is going to be hosting a powerful retreat. And it's called Rekindle the Fire. It's February 7th through 9th at Malvern Retreat House. It's, by the way, a retreat for men and women. Yes, men and women. And the amazing Monsignor Stephen McHenry will be co-directing this retreat with her. And so I would call today to get in, because it's going to fill up quickly. February 7th to 9th at Malvern Retreat House, Rekindle the Fire, a retreat for men and women, given by Kathleen McCarthy and Monsignor Stephen McHenry. So if you don't know the phone number for Malvern Retreat House, you have to call during the day, 610-644-0400. I would call and book your reservation as quickly as possible. Kathleen received the name of this retreat over a year ago. She put it together. It's a very powerful retreat. Of course, any retreat that Kathleen is giving is a powerful retreat. And so I highly recommend that you get on board and sign up. If you can't sign up today, do it tomorrow. It's for men and women. You can't beat it. All right. Are you buckled up? Do you think I'm a little hyper today? It's the new year, 2025. So no matter how bad it gets on this earth, our job is to bring the light of Christ to the darkness, to bring the light of the kingdom and to shine the light of salvation to everyone. Now this goes with all the things we're seeing on TV. We are not to curse the darkness with everybody else. So when you're watching the news, it seems that some of the Christians are the most negative, right? They rant about what is wrong. They go nuts. We don't need to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of this, the wars around us, or when the world is going to end, or who the next president of the United States will be in 4 years, because the world is not our home. Heaven is, and God is God, and He loves us, and we're going to live with Him forever. So it's not our decision. So I want to get back to holiness. Some people think, I can't possibly be holy. It's beyond me. I am so wretched. No, it isn't. God not only calls you to holiness, my friends, He gives you all the tools to become holy. God doesn't want us to be holy and then say to us, hey, good luck with that, Susie. Good luck with that. When you and I sit in prayer and love, that's when we experience holiness. Now, what is the vehicle? Think of a big Humvee. The vehicle of holiness for God is the Holy Spirit. Yep. The Holy Spirit gives us his gifts and gives us his fruits to grow in holiness. But friends, we have to use these gifts or they'll dry up. Look, if you have a great ability to be a football player or a basketball player, you have to practice every day, right? Now, the gift has been given to you, but you have to work with it. You have to cooperate with it. And some with the gift of holiness. So God gives you the gift, but now you have to grow in it. Now, this reminds me of the quarterback of Notre Dame that played the other night. Everyone thought he went out with a concussion. His backup played very well. What happened? He came back in. He won the game. And who did he give glory to? He gave glory to Jesus. He said it was in the will of Jesus. Now, what many of us may not know is that the coach, the current coach, reinstated mass before football games. It had been discontinued. So he reinstated mass before football games. He wasn't even a Catholic. And through the masses before football games, he became a Catholic. That's right. And this team has scripture studies. Did you know that? So when this quarterback gave glory to God, it was a defining moment for all the young people around the world. That this is a defining moment when everyone thought he was out with a concussion, he came back and he surrendered to the will of God. It's a simple, simple example. But very powerful because it was on television. When we surrender to God's will, we become an instrument of his will. And that's what happened with that quarterback. Even though I'm a Penn State graduate and fan, I do love Notre Dame. I just want you to know. But when we surrender to God's will, we become an instrument of his will. It's like when we pray the St. Francis prayer, which is very dear to my heart. Make me an instrument of your peace. You cannot be an instrument of peace to anybody until and unless peace goes through you first. You have to have peace first before you can give it to somebody else. You can't say, I wish you peace. You need peace. The same is true with surrendering to his will, isn't it? So when we surrender to God's will, and live it in our lives, we begin to experience heaven on earth. And we can say and mean it, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the name of this program, Thy Will Be Done. So surrender and go to heaven. Surrender and go to heaven today. If you surrender, you will experience that heavenly peace. The only commandment Jesus Christ ever gave any of us, by the way, was the commandment of love. Remember I talked about Monsignor Essa sharing we need to be Jesus, we need to give love. He states, I give you a new commandment by your love for one another as such as my love has been for you. So much your love be for each other. That's from John 13, verse 34. Yeah, it's not really hard. It's not you don't have to be a theologian to become holy. Holiness expresses itself in how we deal with others. Oh, my goodness. Are you a rage-a-maniac? Do you have road rage? Do you get angry when someone's not perfect? Holiness expresses itself in how we deal with others. Holiness is not the focus on self, but the focus on others, period. Our job, my friends, as Christians, is to get out of the way and let Christ love through us. That's the hardest part of being a Christian. Somehow we always get in the way of Christ, right? We have to practice this. I know it's one of my faults. I always get in the way of Christ. Now, the biggest temptation is to let our own ego get in front of everything else. Some people think being a loving person means we're always nice. Oh, remember Padre Pio? I want to keep bringing him up. If you think that, read the scriptures. Study the scriptures. Christ was not always nice. Remember, he once called a woman a dog in Mark 7:27. And in his humanity, Jesus had bad days like everybody else. It wasn't as if every time somebody came up to him and into his presence, he felt like loving them. Nope. Some people, when they were with him, wanted to kill him. And a lot of people would not even welcome Christ in our churches today because he would make them very uncomfortable, just like he did make the people of his time feel uncomfortable. But he did everything to love them. He did everything to love them. Do you know that? See, some of this is just common sense, and you think, I've heard this before, but I hope that someone is touched by this. We have to be careful, my friends, when we're talking about living a life of love and service. We really have to be careful. Love means that you do what's best for people to get them into heaven, not what's best for you. It's like if you're a parent and if you're married, it's important that you and your spouse bring your children, be example of them, that you want them to go to heaven. That's what love is. Jesus did what he did for the love of us, to get us into heaven. And that primarily means he had to die for us. And then when you're going to love people, when you're going to die for them and put them in front of yourself, then your attitude must be that of Christ. He accepted even death on a cross. Now, again, I take the example of Padre Pio. I don't know about you, but I'd be petrified to go to him for confession. And if you ever read anything about him or any of the stories about him, you know why. Everybody would say, oh, he's so mean. He threw me out of confession. But Padre Pio did it a lot. He would sometimes tell a person, no, you're not ready. Get out. Whoa. Did he hate them? No way. He loved them. He wanted them to go to heaven. So he had to do things to shock them, to get them to see the reality of what they were doing. And sometimes love is like that. But love always entails giving your life for others. It always entails giving your life for others. Every day, we must give our lives away. When we're going to do the will of God, we're going to have to do it whether we feel like it or not. Now, I love the story of Kathleen with Dom Lettieri asking her to take over the radio network upon his deathbed. And she said, and she used the word, my favorite word, absolutely not. Well, guess what? God intervened. She surrendered to God's will, and the rest is history. She is the head of the network. But she initially said, absolutely not. But she knew she had to give her life away for this radio network. When we're going to do the will of God, we're going to have to do whether we feel it or not. And as the old saying goes, and I know my Irish mom used to say this, the road to hell is paved by good intentions. We need to do whatever God asks. It's as simple as that. The road to hell is paved by good intentions. Now, are we going to do God's will even if we don't want to? That's the real question, is it? And trust me, I struggle with this every day. Am I going to do God's will even if I don't want to? It's a thorn in my side. And so when I'm preaching and teaching this on radio, I'm teaching to myself and preaching to myself. So when Jesus was confronted with the will of God the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, did he smile and say, oh, thank you, Father, I just want to suffer and die today for you, with a big smile on his face? No. He pleaded with God the Father and begged, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. He tells his father that he will do whatever he wants, even if it kills him. And it did. I know this is really different than what we hear from so many preachers today, right? Too many preachers preach that God just wants to bless us, to have to be happy on earth, to have prosperity. It's very sad and disconcerting to hear this. But God loves his son more than anyone or anything. And if he asked his son to deny himself for others, how much more will he ask of you and me? You see, being a Christian or a disciple of Jesus is not about getting what we want. It's about doing what God wants. It's not about what we feel at this moment. It's about doing what he wants. And being a Christian has nothing to do with feelings. It has everything to do with actions. And do you remember the story of the little flower? I love this story. She couldn't stand someone in her community. Can you imagine a saint who didn't like someone? And now every time the other sister or nun walked in, and this is when the little flower was in the convent, St. Therese would sit there and think, oh, but then the world, then she would go out of her way. She would go against her better feelings to treat the sister with great love and compassion and to do nice things for her. And so one day the sister came up to her and asked, why do you always smile at me? Why are you always so kind, even when I do so badly? So I highly recommend reading the autobiography of the little flower, the story of the soul. It's all in there about this nun that she couldn't stand. She couldn't stand. This is a saint, the little flower. She couldn't stand this nun and what she did. Now, the reality, my friends, is there are some people in our lives that seem impossible to love, right? I want you to name them.
Yeah. Excuse me, Ann. You have Ed on the line. Eddie Morris.
Ed? Hello, Ed Morris.
Hey, Ann.
Ed Morris, hello.
How are you?
This is a surprise, Ed.
Yeah. We have such a great topic going on there. I had to call in.
Oh, Ed.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think? What do you think?
Well, it's funny because a couple months ago, I had a dream, and actually, not even a dream. I was just laying in my bed, wide awake, and Jesus said, "Hey, Ed, guess what?" I said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, people don't realize this, but I asked God to take this cup away from me 200 times." He said, "Why would I ever want to go through all this? It's such tough work. Why couldn't we just go fishing or go out to dinner or something like that?" But people don't realize that every day I try to get take this cup away from me. But I hung in there. But that's what he told me, Ann. And it was such a great knowledge. I was so happy to hear that.
Well, Eddie, I would love to have you in studio with me when you're up to it to share the journey of how God has been revealing himself to you and your family in the struggle, because your story gives hope to others.
Yeah, I've had three absolutely amazing one-on-ones with them. One to prepare me, and two afterwards. And they've been, it's knowledge that I've talked to other people about, and they're like, wow, never knew that. And I even spoke to some really, really high-level priests and some great, great Catholic friends of ours, and they're all like, that's unbelievable information. So this Thursday night at my event at Norbert's, I'm going to talk about it for the first time. And I can't wait.
Well, tell our listeners, Ed, since you're on the line, what's happening this Thursday night?
Oh, yeah, this Thursday, I always have these, I call them friendship celebrations at St. Norbert's. I've had about 35 of them, but, you know, I had a big tragedy in our life, and I haven't had any for probably 6 or 7 months, but I got the courage to have one. So this Thursday night at St. Norbert's at 7 o'clock, we'll have, I bet, 400 or 500 people will show up, and I'm going to tell a story about what went on in my life, and we have great music there, and a couple other speakers, and Farmer, a great friend of mine, who sent daily prayer out every day for 8 years. We're going to give him a humanitarian award, which is amazing, the work he's done. So it's just a great night. A lot of people, thinking and talking about your topic here. You know, how do you get through all the struggles in life on this earth? And we talk about it, and we stay positive, and we leave flying high. It's a great night.
Well, Eddie, may I say to our listeners who don't know that your son-in-law was Johnny Gaudreau, Johnny Hockey, and the suffering and the amazing way how God has used you through all this, including this upcoming Thursday, I highly encourage our listeners to attend this event. What time is it at St. Norbert's in Paoli?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, my friends. Please, please, if you can, go, because so much will be happening in the love and community and joy, and the message you will leave there uplifted no matter what your spiritual condition is today. You will leave uplifted. So, Eddie, we're going to be together on the air again to do a whole program when you're ready.
Sure, I'm ready. Yeah,
all right.
I'm moving to Ohio on Sunday. Probably out there for 5 months or so when my daughter has her third baby. But I'll be out there for that whole time. But I can call in from there.
All right. We'll plan a whole program, and you can call in from Ohio.
Sounds great. All right. Love you. Thank you.
All right. Love you, Eddie. Thank you for calling in.
Okay. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Again, for those of you who are just tuning in, that's Eddie Morris. He is the father-in-law of Johnny Gaudreau, Johnny Hockey. His daughter, Meredith, was married to Johnny, and she's expecting her third child. He just said he's moving to Ohio for 5 months to help her with the birth of her child. And he's having an amazing, amazing prayer service Thursday night at 7 o'clock at St. Norbert's in Paoli. I highly recommend, if you're just tuning in, getting in your car from work, that you attend it. It's an amazing event filled with great music, great speakers, great prayer, and he brings the Padre Pio glove with him. So, and then go and meet Eddie if you've never met Eddie. And I promise you, we will have him on the air to do a whole program after his move to Ohio this weekend. So thank you, Eddie, for calling in. You inspired me to continue to serve the Lord in ways that I never know what's happening behind the scenes. So thank you, my friend. You are a blessing to me and to all of our listeners. So he had many experiences with the Lord, I know one or two of them, but he said there were several. So I can't wait to hear more of what the Lord revealed to him. I mean, he was holding up his family and how God used him and the rest of his family to get through this horrible tragedy. So let's pray for Meredith, for a beautiful birth, for her child, and for Eddie and his entire family, that it will be a time of joy and a time of consolation for all of them. So, my friends, to segue back to what we were talking about, think about the person you can't stand right now, the person that hurt you the most, the person who rubbed you the wrong way, the person who betrayed you. Do you have a clear image of them? Are you feeling all those negative feelings for them? That's how much you love God. So St. John of the Cross says, where there is no love, put love. And then you will find love. I'm going to say that again. I wrote this in my notebook. St. John of the Cross said, when there is no love, put love, and then you will find love. Let these words sink in, because Eddie, who just called in, suffered a horrible tragedy, and I'm sure that he has learned to love at a deeper and deeper level. God can change our hearts if we surrender to him. He can change our hearts. You see, St. Teresa of Calcutta, do you remember I had communications with St. Teresa and letters from her, which are now relics, and conversations. And she, one of the things that she had framed in one of her convents in India is the fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. And the fruit of love is service. And the fruit of service is peace. Very powerful, isn't it? What we have to do is take care of all the people who are least on our list. But we also have to watch out for false humility. Oh, you know, how many of us hear, oh, I'm not worthy. Oh, I'm such a lowly person. And they play this holy game. There's a lot of false humility that makes itself around our church. People think they're holy if they have to. I think the exact opposite. When the mother of God was asked to be the mother of God, she did not say, oh, I'm not worthy. You better pick someone else to be God's mother. She just said, fiat. Let it be done to me as you say. Or to put in modern language, if this is what you want, then this is what I want. I want what you want. No false humility in Mary. You see, humility is truth. It's truth about who we are. It's knowing ourselves intimately, but it is not a focus on ourselves. And I believe that false humility is always focused on self. And true humility is always focused on God and others. Yes, on God and others. And I can't believe our time is almost up. Wow. If you don't have peace, it's usually because of one or two things. The first is because you're in sin, and to have peace, you need to repent of the sin. And after you've repented and gone to confession, you still don't have peace, then the second thing you need to look at is as if you're doing the will of God or not. If you're not doing God's will, you aren't going to have peace. That's true. If you're not doing the will of God, you're not going to have peace. God is a God of surprises. Don't you know that? And he loves to surprise you. Like today, Eddie Morris calling in. What a gift to me. What a surprise. What a surprise. That was a God surprise for me. Remember John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. He must increase and I must decrease. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this program today. I thank you for all that you are about. Our weariness, and Eddie, if you're still listening, our weariness refreshes others. And that's what you're about this Thursday night at St. Norbert's. Our weariness refreshes others. So you have a gift of refreshing others in your weariness. Yes, that's right. What a great and glorious gift, Eddie. What a great and glorious gift for all those who attend. I want you to remember that. Our weariness refreshes others. And this is the reason why Eddie calls people together to pray, to sing, to intercede, to share testimonies, because we become saints when our will and God's will becomes one. And this is where St. Francis was when he said he would continue doing what he was doing, even if he were to die within the hour. And this is where we need to be, to establish what we need to be in peace. So until next week, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. And know, in a very special way, that you are gifted. And the Lord wants to take you into a plunge of his tough love so you will learn to love, to live, and to live in his will despite your own personality. This is what this ministry is all about. Learn to love. Learn to embrace his love no matter how broken or how addicted you are at this moment. His love is reaching you. His mercy is reaching you. So again, my friends, until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and Our Lady's watching over you.